Thank you to the APHA for inviting us to talk about this. It's really exciting. I have no disclosures or relationships to disclose, I guess, perhaps. So let's talk. So the purpose of my talk today is to show how a public forum discussion of some small-scale clinical studies within our health system stimulated both interest and knowledge around health disparities research, and then also some hard outcomes on how it's improved the quality of the care that we've delivered within our system. So just to take a step back here, so why did we look at health disparities? This is a slide from the Health and Human Services Healthy People 2020 report when they did a survey in 2010, the slide's a little blurry, of patient self-defined access to care. You can see on average about 4.6% of Americans felt that they had either delayed or inability to access care at the appropriate time in the appropriate setting. And surprisingly, or maybe not so surprisingly, it's not really so much correlated with race or ethnicity, but more so with income level. So those that were either at the poverty level or below the poverty level were 2 to 3 times less likely to access appropriate care as those that were in the upper middle class or in the wealthier income level groups. In addition, you know, the AHA has come out strongly saying that not only is it a social justice and ethics question to eliminate or reduce disparities in healthcare, but it actually impacts both financial and quality performance in the care that we give. So this is really something that's important for all of us to address. So how does this impact us locally in Mainline Health? So this is just a snapshot of what Mainline Health is for those that aren't from the Philadelphia area. We are located in the suburbs of Philadelphia, the Mainline suburbs of Philadelphia, which is a pretty well-to-do area to the west of Philadelphia. But we have 4 acute care hospitals, and the one I'm from, the Lincoln Hall Medical Center, straddles the line of West Philadelphia, which is more of an urban population than what's traditionally in the mainline system. So it gives us a really good demographic to look at these differences and how they impact on care and how we can how can we address that in our processes. Mainline health systems have had national recognition annually for, you know, the scope of care that we give, the quality of the care we give. So we have lots of resources that we can use to address all these different patient populations. This is our service area, just as a review. And I'm sorry, I don't have a pointer. But we service both Chester County, where Paoli Hospital there is, Bryn Mawr Hospital is one of our centers in Montgomery County and Delaware County, and Lincoln Hall Medical Center there in Red is where I practice. And as you can see, we straddle the line of Philadelphia County. And why is that important? Well, this to the left is a county health assessment that was performed in 2010 by Pennsylvania state government, and it ranked 67 counties within the state in terms of health on objective measures. And our service area is very dichotomous. As you can see in the top left box there, Chester County, serviced by Paoli Hospital, is number one in the state in terms of health factors, and Montgomery County also, our service area is 6th. You can contrast that with to our south, where Riddle Hospital is. Delaware County is 41st out of 67, and Lincoln Hall, my institution, we serve both Montgomery, Delaware, or all 3, and Philadelphia County. As you can see, Philadelphia County is 67th out of 67 counties in terms of health assessments. So pretty dichotomous patient population. Yeah, heterogeneous patient population that we service. On the right is a community health assessment that Lincoln Hall and Mainline Health performed in 2010. To the extreme right is southeastern Pennsylvania. So that's the marker for all of southeastern Pennsylvania, all of these counties, the aggregate assessment. Patients themselves, their reported health status, and this measures the number of patients who've felt that their health was fair to poor. So southeastern Pennsylvania on average was about 15% to 20%, and that tall bar in the middle is our urban west population, the Philadelphia population, and they felt they're about twice as unhealthy as everyone else. So lots of work to do. This echoes that first slide I had about racial and ethnic disparity versus financial economic disparity, and the darker green areas are the more financially sound communities, and the lighter green areas are those that are experiencing some economic instability. And this really mimics the community health assessment that we had. So the more wealthy populations tend to have better access to care and better perceived health by themselves than those that are more disadvantaged. I'm going to skip that. So why did Lincoln Medical Center take this lead in health disparities research for mainline health? And it's because of our geography. I mean, we do straddle that line, and we do have the most diverse population. In addition, we're the academic medical hub for the system, and so it was really just a natural partnership for us to take this on. It's just a little bit of history about where I work. I work at Lincoln Clinical Care Center, and this is where the original research came from for the system. And we have been providing specialty and primary care for uninsured and underinsured individuals in our service area. We now are a NCQA Level 3 patient-centered medical home with all of the things that Ms. Cabral talked about in terms of outreach and team-based care and multidisciplinary teams, and really have poised us to do some of the interventions that we think are going to impact on reducing disparities. And we have within our system and in partnerships that we have in our community some really strong ties that will help in the education and outreach pieces of what we feel like we need to do to decrease these disparities. So our inaugural colloquium was in May of 2012. There were four projects that were discussed openly to the public, and we invited everyone. We not just the people that worked for Mainline Health or Lankenau, but our community affiliates, insurance companies, representatives came. We invited the Philadelphia city government officials to come as well. And we talked about these four projects, two of them in general internal medicine on screening, colonoscopy, and mammography. We also talked about access to defibrillator placement for patients who had congestive heart failure and cardiomyopathy, and we talked about time from diagnosis to treatment in new breast cancer patients that were underinsured or uninsured. And here's the results of the four studies. I've highlighted with an underline what we felt were the disparity factors. So not surprisingly, race or gender didn't really make an impact on the quality of care between our private practices, which is what we compared to our clinical care center practice outcomes. What really made a difference was that insurance or, economic status, as well as employment status and age, surprisingly, in mammography. So the common themes, I think I just said, was that age, financial status, and existing culture in the community were the biggest factors, as well as competing responsibilities that our patients felt that they had in the clinical care center population that maybe private practice patients didn't feel were competing with their health care. And so we concluded that we needed to create systems, processes, and community partnerships to reduce these social barriers to care. And we did that through advocacy, education, enhanced access, and continued dialogue. So we'll talk about all those things in the coming slides. So what was the call to action? So that we had action related to this healthcare colloquium on multiple levels. Our CEO came to this and was really energized and activated by it. He committed to getting a breast center navigator for our clinical care center patients to help with that advocacy and access. We had community health services, which were traditionally part of Lankenau Medical Center, became more closely aligned with these at-risk groups, and we used health educators and dedicated case managers for advocacy and education as well. We started a medical student advocate program where we partnered with Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine in this last year to further our outreach efforts to patients who felt like they had barriers that they needed to overcome to get their medical care. And we are continuing to partner with the Center for Public Health Research at our Lankenau Institute of Medical Research to get grants and other financial support for our interventions. Other, like I said, people attended our colloquium from outside of our system, and as a result of it, we got some financial commitments from these national foundations for our different programs. And then these are all of our community partners that have either grown as a result of the colloquium or have been reinforced by our colloquium and our studies. We expanded the discussion, so the other outcome of it was a continued interest and revitalized interest, or maybe new interest, in health disparities research across the entire spectrum. So not just Lincoln All Medical Center, which had a vested interest in it, but across all four of our hospitals, Paoli, Riddle, Memorial, and Bryn Mawr Hospital. And they all came and presented cases as well and their small-scale studies at our second annual colloquium, which was just held this last May. Attendance also increased significantly, and in this next year we're continuing to get new interest and reports of more projects for the 2014 colloquium. In addition to the colloquium, we formed a mainline health disparities and care work group on which I'm participating, and this is an advisory committee to top administration, to the CEO of Mainline Health, specifically tasked with figuring out a system-wide project to address disparities. And one of our projects is looking at advocacy, so looking, comparing patients who have a strong family network versus those that don't have a strong family network, and trying to see if that impacts on the quality of the care they get in the hospital and at all touch points within our system. So conclusions. I think an academic approach to looking at these studies in a small scale and rapid sequence really increases buy-in from the larger community of Mainline Health. And there's study momentum. So, you know, those that were involved in the first colloquium are continuing to be involved and are continuing to create new projects, and there's always new people that are interested in presenting as well. The open to the public format, cultivated community partnerships and national partnerships, which I think are going to be key to our success. It brings awareness and sustainable interest to our healthcare leaders of tomorrow. So that's really, really important in terms of state sustainability, right? So after I retire, and never, the medical student advocate program, and we actually have a high school student advocacy program as well that's come as a result of this, are really exciting to us in terms of stimulating those leaders of tomorrow.
Disparities in kidney transplantation at a large center in southern California.